keeping with the theme of the evenings, the koans, and you know I love to play with the koans. And again, understand something, that when we talk about koans from this perspective, in some ways, it's not a very productive thing. However, see, if I can get you to begin to have some sense of what the koan is pointing toward, and recognizing that it can only point, it's sort of a roadmap, if you will, that points toward a destination. And in this particular instance, it's a destination, see, that you don't have to go to. The point is to stop trying to go to it. That's what the roadmap says. See, and you sort of take the backward step to the place that the roadmap is pointing out to us. But the words, see, the words are simply the pointing fingers. Consequently, you have to go deeper than the words to truly have a koan actualize in your life. When they turn in your life, you will recognize it. You will know it. It is always a light bulb going off and saying, wow, I see now. The other part of it is always, in a certain sense, in direct opposition to what we originally think it should be. That's the beauty of this practice. Most of us come to this practice because we're somewhat dissatisfied with ourselves. There are some people who specifically come to the practice because it sounds like a nice kind of thing to get a credential in and so that they can go out and teach it. I'm always stunned by that. For some of you in here, you may not believe that that's the case, but it absolutely is the case. I know of several people who were very open about it, came specifically to ZCLA simply to become Zen teachers, which is shocking to me. Because what's the value in being a Zen teacher? And these same people inevitably fail. Some of them do become teachers. And again, I have no way I cannot give any reason for that other than it's just one of these karmically kind of predestined things. But it is a sad, sad state. And all of the old masters that we are particularly fond of here and the people who had went to China, you know, I think made a deeper connection in some sense to these old masters that I just revel in. Nothing, and no one has spoken more clearly than they have. It was an amazing period of time when prajna, when wisdom truly, truly sprung onto the scene. It's probably blasphemous to say that, see, but I'm not even sure, you know, that Ananda could remember clear enough to make the Buddha's words sound superior to Hong Zhe or Yang Wu, Fa Yan, Siyo Ta Hui. These are an amazing, amazing giants. Of course, they all bow to the Buddha, the Shakyamuni, the historical Buddha. He's the one that started pushing the wheel. See, it's quite wonderful. But again, with these koans, remember, all of the sutras, in a certain sense, are koans. The precepts are a koan. Maizumi Roshi once mentioned to one of his successors that Shikantaza is a koan. See, and if we can understand koan, see, to mean the actualized wisdom, see, of a particular view, see, a particular perspective. The koans, see, are these windows that we look through. We look through into this inner self, to the true self. See, I can say we look into Mujji, I can say we look into Dharmakaya, but see, it's not enough to look to just the emptiness. This is the beauty of Mujji. It isn't just empty. See, when I say empty, in the absolute sense that nothing moves. See, the great Hong Zhe said in there, see, at that place, and I don't know which one of them says, and what an amazing thing, that it shines black, lacquer black. See, that's how it is. And then the pivot moves. See, and all of this becomes the functioning, see, of this vast state of emptiness. See, and there's not much that can be said, or at least I can't say, So long as we are attached at all into this realm of being, see, there is a limitation. I think in physics, singularity, I think, is it a singularity that they refer to? Where you, the two statements concerning nature are absolutely true, but they're mutually exclusive. You can only see one, see, you don't see the other. If you see the other, you don't see the one. And this is what Dogen said. When one side is apparent, the other side is dark. When we're in this state, we can make an intellectual jump. See? But to live in the space is something else. It's not such an easy thing. So remember, as we journey through these koans, that just because you catch some kind of meaning in the words, remember the whole point behind the koan is to transcend the words. And what I'm going to try to do as we move through here, I'll use a different kind of a koan, and I'll try to show a comparison as to what's happening when we work on muji. What's happening? What is the technique that we're trying to do? What are the mechanics of it? Because you can almost say that. See, it's almost mechanistic in what we're trying to do. See, here we have a koan that I sort of like, and I'm always surprised when people miss this koan. It's more than I liked. When I think back, I really liked a lot of koans going through them at the time. I don't know that I necessarily was aware of that. But it says, Kassan's beating the drum. Kassan said, cultivating study is called learning. Cutting off study is called nearness. Going beyond these two is to be considered real going beyond. A monk came forward and asked, what is real going beyond? Kassan said, knowing how to beat the drum. Again the monk asked, what is the real truth? Kassan said, knowing how to beat the drum. The monk asked once more, I do not ask about mind is Buddha, but what is no mind, no Buddha? Kassan said, knowing how to beat the drum. The monk still continued to ask, when a transcendent man comes, how do you receive him? Kassan said, knowing how to beat the drum. Now, I hope that just doesn't sound like a lot of gibberish. See, because these four points that this old master is making, see, rather famous four points, and they talk about the four phases. And the other great teachers will say it in different ways, but basically they're talking about the same thing. See, the verse says, one hauled rock, another carried dirt. To shoot the bolt, you need a 10-ton crossbow. Seppel once rolled some balls. But how can that compare to Kassan's ability to beat the drum? I announce for your information, don't be careless. The sweet is sweet, and the bitter is bitter. Of course, this verse is always the great Secho, one of the great, great masters. See? Kassan said, cultivating study is called learning. Here we're talking about the type of study, see, where you are so intense in the study that you forget the study. See, to go beyond learning, you exhaust, see, this search, see, for some sort of an intellectual understanding. To think that you can find it, see, in the words or the phrases, you can rush to books and open it up. Oh, here you can. You can get the commentaries, see. And in Japan, I imagine it's true in China, but in Japan, they'll have hundreds of commentaries available to them. And I think in a certain sense, we're sort of very fortunate that we don't have that. I can remember I was sort of shocked because I would And I will say this. I was sort of shocked because I just was stunned by Roshi in koan practice, and he had so much information available to him. And I was shocked when I realized they had also a lot of commentaries available to him. And I suppose part of that was that I felt, well, wait a minute, what am I hearing? Am I hearing your appreciation, or am I hearing the appreciation of one of these great old masters? Well, after so many years of working with Roshi, I knew inside that room, Roshi knew what the hell he was talking about. See, staggeringly so. Particularly when I began to explore this impenetrable wall called Dogen Zenji. Scholars, you know, crash on that shoreline. He is just an amazing man to read. And sometimes I have felt needlessly complicated, convoluted. And I said that to Roshi on one occasion. And by that time, I was beginning to appreciate Dogen. And in some instances, stunned by Dogen's wisdom. But I did feel that he sometimes was needlessly enamored with his ability to handle words. And he made it needlessly complicated. And I said to Roshi, does it ever seem to you like, rather than, you know, coming directly to the point, that he sort of gotten carried away, as I said, enamored with his own use of words? And I don't know what I was expecting to Roshi. I was a little surprised where he said, yes, of course. He said, but Nyogen, that's Dogen. He said, appreciate Dogen for being Dogen. Now, I don't know what kind of a response you have to this statement from Roshi, but for me, it was a sort of cold water thrown into my face. See, I had never really thought to challenge any of the old masters. I had never thought, while I was moving through the koans, to question whether or not Joshu gave the clearest answer that he possibly could. But I realized with Roshi's statements that it was okay to test. See, it was okay to challenge. And for me, that was sort of a little eureka. See, something had opened up. So realize that Dogen himself is a koan. To grasp the full meaning of Dogen, you have to understand more than that. You have to actualize the state of mind that Dogen is in. And he moves effortlessly from the absolute to the relative and back and forth. And that can become very, very complicated. But once you begin, see, to speak the same language, meaning that you begin to see the state of mind. And more, and when we say see, remember, we're speaking almost in a figurative sense, but there is seeing, but it isn't in the sense of the eye seeing a distant object, but you are seeing it. So here what he's talking about, he says, cultivating study is called learning. See, cutting off study is called nearness. I can phrase this in another way. Once you reach the stage of not knowing, see, not knowing is most intimate. It's been said that shallow learning, deep enlightenment. Deep learning, no enlightenment. See, now it's an interesting thing. This is a statement, see, that comes out, I don't know whether this was Engo's statement or whose, but see, if you think about it, shallow learning. See, how did you first take that statement? See, shallow learning, see, deep enlightenment. Deep learning, no enlightenment. See, did you take it to mean that if I don't spend too much time intellectually pursuing answers, meaning, see, that then I will have the deep enlightenment, and that deep learning, see, will mean no enlightenment. But see, here you have to again ask yourself, what is this learning? See, if your learning is very shallow, if your practice is shallow. You'll be really involved with deep enlightenment. See, something so special and outside, see, of any realm that it's possible to talk about. See, pursuing it into the mountains of the Himalayas, to the monasteries in Japan. See. But if your practice is deep, deep, deep practice, deep learning, there's no enlightenment. And that is the truly enlightened state. Do you see how the words can mislead? Because I can fall back and flop them the other way just as easily. See? What he's talking about here when he says going beyond the two, going beyond the duality. Once you go beyond the duality, see, of cutting off or bringing up, see, go beyond that. You go into the effort of no effort. See, that's where we cut it all off. See, to see beyond this state, to see beyond all duality. See, that's the point. That's the point. It was interesting for me, this extraordinary knowing toward the end of it. But the thing that becomes apparent is that there is this place that they all talk about where it's almost contradictory. You have to know but not knowing. You have to make an effort but no effort. See, this is the same thing. I think that these people have caught on to something. This is the point here about our practice. Do you know why the practice is so complicated? Because we sit down and we work really hard. But are we working really hard? We're doing a lot of activity. You have a lot of learning. Because what is that learning? Well, I'm going to have perfect breathing. I'm going to master this koan. What was the answer to that koan? See, we go about it in the wrong direction. Dogen says, take the backward step. Turn the light inward. See, don't try to produce anything. And with the koan, don't try to produce an answer. Become the koan. It was just like in her book, the psychics, when they put them in experimental situations, experimental settings, research settings, and told them to make the effort, they couldn't do it. And they began to realize that making the effort, and these people with these special abilities, these special talents, that's what they said. Well, I can't see anything now, because we're making the effort. And you have to find that fine balance somewhere between A and B, someplace between effort and no effort. The no effort isn't a careless indifference. And that's what most people do with koan practice. See, they drop that very refined, alert state. That's the great doubt. Without that very, very alert attention to the point, and you hold that, you look at that, see, you become that. Then, if your effort is actually deep effort, something happens. And you will see it in a different way. The problem for most people when they work with koans, they bring in their conceptual understanding, their intellectual understanding. They come in to discuss the koan. And it's a kind of an interesting thing, because when they do that, they already come in, and some of you think about it, with four or five answers. Usually they won't, but they've got it. But they'll say to me, how's this? I'll say, no. Well, let me try this one. See, the point is, if you don't hit it with the first shot, you don't see the koan. See, it isn't a thing of picking up some crap and throwing it on the wall and seeing what sticks. That's not it. And even if you had an answer that somebody would say, okay, that's it, you still don't have it. When you truly answer the koan, you'll know it. For those who work on Muji, guarantee you, when you really see it, you'll know it. Roshi said, up till then, you can sit there and tell them what it is, and they still can't answer it. You'll get very clever people, and I've seen them, a number of them come in, see, and they'll play games with you on the koan, see, on Muji. But the game, the deck is stacked against you. You'll come in and you'll hear one question. But I have a lot of questions I can ask you. And to see how easily we stumble. It isn't an intellectual exercise. And so long as you, where he's talking about, what he's talking about, what when you go beyond duality, what when you go beyond effort and no effort, what when you go beyond the absolute state and the relative state? And then he says, going beyond these two is to be considered real going beyond, transcendence. See, as you sit here now, you are in fact, see, the absolute. You are Alaya consciousness, you are Dharmakaya. And here we sit in the manifest form, me blabbing at the mouth, you listening. We hear the car alarms, we can feel the cool breeze. Something amazing is going on right here. Something stunning is going on right here. And what he's saying is, go beyond the duality of knowing and not knowing. What do you do then? How do you function? Often I'll tell people how to function. Then they come in and run the same number past me. Then I just move it over to here. And if you don't see it, you don't see it even as you walk on it. A monk came forward and asked, what is real going beyond? This is a Gari monk. And this isn't an Ajahnu. This is a monk who's been around. He knows. He knows where the important part is. He said, what is real going beyond? He wants to know, what is it when we go beyond cultivating and not cultivating? See, and then Kassan said, knowing how to beat the drum. This, see, is quite beautiful. Knowing how to beat the drum. See, what did Hakuin Zenji say? He said he presents him with an iron hammerhead with no hole. See, knowing how to beat the drum. What do you do with that? The question is, has Kassan answered this monk? The monk wants to know what is real going beyond. He says, knowing how to beat the drum. Now, this is the first testing point for you and for this monk. See, in this kind of mando, this kind of an exchange. First, to appreciate the teacher. Does he respond to the monk where the monk is in his own development? Does he deal with the very question being asked? And does he cut off all avenues of escape? All means for intellectual understanding. And then does, see, he set a higher level. And in this particular instance, he absolutely does. See, knowing how to beat the drum. See, you have to transcend his words, just as in the koan of Muji. You have to transcend mu. What does it mean? It means that you bring your attention, your focus, see, your concentrated mind on this knowing how to beat the drum. What does it mean, knowing how to beat the drum? See, and you have to sustain that until the little spark of asking that question, knowing how to beat the drum. What does it mean? To know how to beat the drum. See, what is the meaning of Muji? What is the sound of one hand clapping? Knowing how to beat the drum. See, this is, see, an iron mountain. If you'd like, see, let's talk about a mosquito attacking an iron bull. You're a mosquito, you got that little probus? What's the little, any entomologists in here, the little probus? That's it, you got it. See, we got an educated man in the family. See, have you think what it would be like hitting an iron bull? Oh, 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 see? That's what it's like. See, trying to bite an iron bull. One old master said it's like trying to bite into a steel spike. All it does is crush your teeth. Knowing how to beat the drum. See? But again, this monk, see, has courage. He says, what is the real truth? I don't want relative measures. I don't want a superficial. What is the real, truth? Now, you can ask yourself as we look at this mandal, how is this monk going? Is he testing Kassan? Is he responding appropriately? See, is he showing an open eye? Or is he still trapped in his own delusional thinking? See, what is the real truth? Look, 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 it's obvious. Don't you see it? There's just nothing outside of this one. Look, look. There's nothing outside of this. See, there is just this one truth. There is just this one thing. But what is this one thing? Now, with this group, people who sit the retreats with us, see, you'll know that you can begin to sense this one thing. But what is it? See, I can sit in the center when we're in samadhi and the group is in samadhi and I feel the support, and it's a wonderful sense of euphoria. See, an interconnectedness. Yes, I can about get it. Then we leave. And what happens? How quickly, does it leak away? Why can't I sustain this one thing? So the monk asked, what is the real truth? And Kassan said, knowing how to beat the drum. Is he responding? Is it vital? Is it living what he's doing here? See, he's asking, what is the real truth? What is the real going beyond? Knowing how to beat the drum. Now you see the power of Kassan. He isn't caught by the questions. He doesn't go down into the weeds. He isn't going to splash muddy water all over this monk. That alone tells us something, that he must have seen something here. There must have been a glimmer, because he is unmoving. Do you see what an iron monk Okasan is? The monk tries the real truth, going beyond. And what has he run into? An iron mountain. You crack into Kassan, he doesn't move, knowing how to beat the drum. The monk now is thrashing about more. You can begin to see the activity here. Now the monk decides, I'm going to dive right down into it. I'll see if I can pull this old bastard with me. Pull him off his perch. He, monk, asks once more, I do not ask about mind is Buddha. But what is no mind, no Buddha? See, this is very famous. We're getting into Basso, see. backing it up. See, mind is Buddha. I think Engo says about this, he said, mind is Buddha. It's easy to study. It's easy to study. Why? Because there is something to seek. There's something to be attained. There is something to be understood. And oh, it feels so good. It's tangible, palpable. It's right here. See, mind is Buddha. We can look for that. Mind is Buddha. Now, I just have to figure it out. Where is that mind? Oh, maybe if I go over across town to one of those other kinds of temples, I'll find mind is Buddha there. But the monk says, I don't ask about that. What about no mind, no Buddha? Oh, Engo says here, so difficult, so difficult. Like biting into steel. There's no entranceway here. No mind, no Buddha. Where are you? Do you see how much more reassuring it is? Mind is Buddha? See, that gives you something to attain. That makes us feel very comfortable. If you get into a little bit of trouble, if mind is Buddha, take care of me, Buddha. But if the Obaso turns the table and says, no mind, no Buddha. Oh, where's the anchor point? See, where's the hitching post? Where can you feel secure? It's a barren and cold landscape. No mind, no Buddha. Now he must have moved the great Kassan with this. But Kassan said, knowing how to beat the drum. I think Hakuin said about this, how awesome this knowing how to beat the drum. Pure poison kills anything in its way. See, no movement. You see this? Knowing how to beat the drum. The monk still isn't done. He's persistent. He continued to ask, when a transcendent man comes, how do you receive him? He's asking, what can you say to a free man? What can you say to a practitioner who is now unfettered? Kassan said, knowing how to beat the drum. Knowing how to beat the drum. Hakuin said, he throws an iron flute with no holes directly into his face. So you can ask, so Tetsugen is a musician. How would he play that iron flute with no holes? Be interesting to see what Sotets would say. But I can tell you what Kassan would say, knowing how to beat the drum. Does this make sense? You see, the point again is to understand what is this knowing how to beat the drum. We understand the words. You know what knowing means? See, to be aware of, cognizant of, see? To beat, see? A drum, see? And do you realize that his statement of knowing to beat the drum, he has answered with absolute precision. What is real going beyond? Beating the drum. What is real truth? Beating the drum. See? No mind, no Buddha. Beating the drum. Well, how do I speak to an enlightened guy? Beating the drum. See, it is absolutely beautiful, but you have to push out the bottom, see, the floor of your intellectual understanding. This is in the verse. See, in the verse, the great Secho says, one hauled rock, another carried dirt. See, all of the teachers have their own devices. This, another carried dirt. The one old master, when any prospective students would show up at the monastery, you couldn't even say anything. You had to go out to the roadway and haul out 3 loads of dirt. And then he'd talk to you. And they said that the road in front of the monastery was very, very clean. See, he kept it that way. See, see, others with rocks. See, each of the teachers had their own way. The great Joshu, see, was known for lip zen. See, turning words. Rinzai, no baku, they hit. They bulged out their eyes, sticking out their tongues. But it's always appropriate to the teacher. If it comes out of the living expression of the teacher, the one koan that I should have brought back up in my mind at this one point about the shouts. See, it became a joke. And in some of the koans, they're very critical in some of the statements. How they ran around in the halls, everybody shouting, shouting, shouting. See, and it became monkey see, monkey do. When the great Abaku shouted, or Baso shouted, or Rinzai shouted. See, this was the killing shout. And this shout was knowing how to beat the drum. See, hauling, having them work. I think it was it Naropa? Or who did the labors where tearing stuff down and building? Milarepa, see. That's knowing how to beat the drum. See, and if you do, it takes you beyond delusional thinking. You have to enter into the deep state. That's why Zazen is an absolutely necessary ingredient here. They'll all tell you as I'll tell you. You don't need to sit Zazen to develop your Buddha nature. That's absolutely true. And those scholars who are opposed to sitting will selectively pull out lines that make it sound like it's enough just to intellectually say I'm a Buddha. No, it is not. To intellectually know you're a Buddha is worthless. See, there is no transformation that takes place. And this is what Secho says here. To shoot the bolt, you need a 10-ton crossbow. See, you have to be truly clear. And you have to be spiritually powerful. This kasan, see, knowing how to beat the drum. The strength it took for him to be unwavering there. He says, what's the truth? Knowing how to beat the drum. See, what's going beyond? Knowing how to beat the drum. What is no mind, no Buddha? Knowing how to beat the drum. What do you do when you meet the enlightened person? Knowing how to beat the drum. See, this is the point. See, and then once you crack through, see, that layer of ego, of intellectual understanding, once you cut, see, the root of conceptual thought, cut the flow of discriminating consciousness for a moment, bang, and then you'll know what it means to beat the drum. And you can respond accordingly. And if you actually see it at a visceral level, it changes your life. I can tell you in no uncertain terms what beating the drum means, and it won't change your life. And you won't even be able to take the next test, which would be knowing to beat the drum. He's telling you all the way through. He says, Seppo once rolled some balls. And one of his teaching devices was that sometimes when there were students trying to get these 3 balls and roll them in there. And I'm still having allergy stuff. And SEPO, of course, is very famous. It doesn't come clear, and I shouldn't talk about these. I should look it up again. But he was being asked, tested, and he sat down. The old master set a vase of water, a bottle of water or something there, and says, "What is it?" And one of the guys being tested, and it was a tough test. I think this was SEPO, or was it Isan? I can't remember. See, but the point again is he said, say something about this. And the one monk said, you certainly couldn't call it a sandal or a shoe. See, well, that's right. Somebody else said something. And SEPO just stepped up and kicked it over. Just punk. When I worked with this guy with Roshi, I said, one of the things, I said, it's a little crude, isn't he? And Roshi said, you could answer it that way if you chose. See? But I did something different with the water bottle. And that's a perfectly acceptable answer, particularly the first time going through it. See, if you see what it means, knowing how to beat the drum. The only way you are free is if you enter into that state of total, total concentrated mind. That total concentrated mind cuts off the flow of all of the emotional thoughts. You're not a zombie. Understand. Knowing how to beat the drum means to come right to this point, here, now, without any mediating thoughts. Nothing between you and this state of absolute reality. That's what it is. And Kassan, that's what he's doing. He's holding his head right to it. This thing here, this thing here, this thing here, this thing here. And for most of you, immediately the first question comes up. When the first question comes up, you still haven't learned how to beat the drum. So SEPO once rolled three balls. Well, there were three balls, as I recall, that he would roll and he'd ask. See, and you could see where you could really get to playing with that. See, oh, it's the three treasures. Oh, see, it's the three worlds. See? But I would imagine, I don't even remember whether anyone challenged him on it. You know, somebody might have picked him up and thrown him at him, see? But Sacho says, but how can that compare to Kassan's ability to beat the drum? Is one superior to the other? Can it be compared? In this great state of oneness, see, there is no better or worse. That's what it means to know how to beat the drum. But Secho is afraid that in this koan, that you're going to trivialize it, that you're going to get caught in the words and an intellectual understanding. And I think I just butchered this so much tonight, I'm sure that's where I've left you. See, but he says, I announce for your information. And I forget one of the old masters, I think it might have been Engo even, who was a little saying, ah, he just can't leave it enough alone. See, has to add a little something more to it. See, then you could say something interesting. He says, I announce for your information, don't be careless. Don't be careless. Now, showing you what an old grandmother Secho is, he says, the sweet is sweet. The bitter is bitter. Can it be more obvious? Thank you.